All right. Good evening, everyone. So tonight we're going to try to finish the first bracha if everyone behaves. I have a lot to get to, but it's a bit to get through. So we'll try and finish the first bracha tonight. We're basically holding by the end of the bracha, the last line of the bracha: Melech Ozer Umoshia Umagein, and then Hashem Magin Avraham. So just going to talk about those words. I did say way back when we started that there was one word in the first bracha that that I wasn't going to have very much to say about, and I think Mr. Rosenthal all the time had me admit what the word was, the word melech here in this line, which when we get to later in Shmoneh Esrei, we'll talk about, I think, more about some of the ideas of what Malchus is and what the idea of Melech is, of Melech of Shemayim and Melech Basar Vadam and different ideas of Malchus. But just in the context of this line, I don't really think this is the place to talk about exactly what the idea of Malchus is and specifically what the meaning significance here is in this line. I don't have very much to say about. So that being said, we're going to just, Melech is the king, and then we have three adjectives describing this what way Hashem is the king, which I guess, just to put it very simply, even though I said I don't have anything to say about Melech, but Melech means, you know, he's in control. So these are three levels of the way in which Hashem is in control, the way in which Hashem is ruling and overseeing the world. So we say that he's Ozer, which means helps, assists, Umoshia, saves, Umagain, and is the shield, and he protects. So the Vilna Gaon, in the Avnei Eliyahu, so says that what are these three ideas? He says that Ozer means the helper. What does that mean? It means that you do your input, you put in your hishtadlus, you do your own effort, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu assists you. That the Gaon says that Mevarich Maase Yadecha, that he, you know, you do your Maase Yadecha, you do your acts, you do what you have to do, and then Hashem, you know, makes that effective. He assists you that you do something, and Hashem kind of makes it work, makes it successful, which is its own. Which is a madrega of bitachon, which has two aspects to it. You can have someone who feels that I am doing, you know, what I do, and that's really what makes things work, and I need Hashem to, you know, get every, you know, make sure it doesn't fail, to remove the obstacles, but really what I did is really what caused what happened to happen. And then you have another level, which is someone who says, I'm going to do what I have to do because, you know, it's the world that I'm in is a world of hishtadlus, but really Hashem is the one who makes it work, and my efforts are just, you know, kind of, because the madrega that I'm on is that, you know, I don't deserve nisim, and therefore that I have to, you know, do things in the derech hateva, but that really I understand that Hashem is the one who's making everything happen. And I say that Hashem wa nosin l'cha koach lasos chayil, that even though I might be osa chayil, I might be doing things, but Hashem is the one who's making that work. Hashem is really the one who's making that effective. So that is a madrega of bitachon. It certainly is a level of bitachon to know that even though I'm doing something, to really feel like that Hashem, despite the fact that I am doing and putting in my input, that Hashem is the one who really is making this work. But that's level number one. So then we have Moshia. Moshia is where you do nothing. It's where you just sit back and a Kadosh Baruch Hu saves you. Hashem makes everything work without any input from you, like Chizkiyahu, when he was surrounded by the invading armies of, I believe it was Aram, but I might have that wrong. But there was, you know, they were totally overwhelmed, and there was totally nothing they could do, and it was hopeless. So he went to sleep. So he's, why do you go to sleep? Because it doesn't matter what I do anyways. Kadosh Baruch wants to save us, he'll save us. He doesn't want to save us, he won't save us. So, like, you know, what does it matter? And he basically it wasn't because he was being, you know, lazy, or he was acknowledging that it was completely in the hands of Hashem, and he had nothing to do with it. And that was another level of bitachon. And then you have the third level, which is magain, which the Gra says is where you do something which is contrary to your own success, and Hashem makes it successful anyways. Like Avraham jumped into a fiery furnace, he did something which is the opposite of the self-preservation and in our custom, and Hashem made the fire cool down, and Avram went to battle against the four kings, the world powers who had just defeated the four kings, who just defeated the five kings. They were the world power, and he takes himself and his trusted 317 men, or maybe just himself and his servant Eliezer, and goes to battle against them, certainly against his self-preservation. And Hashem made him victorious, and that's the midah of magain, of where you do something which is contrary to your own success, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it that makes it successful nonetheless. That he makes it, that he protects you and he saves you, despite your involvement being something which was seemingly contrary to that effort. And we'll get back to in a minute why that's called magain. Magain usually translate a shield. We'll get to that in a moment. Right. But there is another meaning of magain, which we'll get back to. The Gra doesn't explain why exactly that's called magain, but we'll get back to that in a moment. But then he finishes up, and that's why the bracha concludes with Baruch Atah Hashem magain Avraham, because Avraham, who repeatedly put himself at risk, Laman Ratzon Hashem, and or you know he completely put himself out on a limb for the sake of what Hashem wanted. So he epitomizes this midah of magain, of that I'm, you know, completely disregarding my own interest, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects him. So just to be perfectly clear, this does not mean to be cavalier with your own well-being on the reliance that Hashem will take care of you. This is Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that it's also for a person to put himself into sakana, saying that Hashem will do a nes for him. The Gemara says, because Hashem lo yasal, maybe Hashem won't do a nes for you. And if he does do a nes for you, says the Gemara, it's going to be menachah from Yizchuyos, it's going to deduct from your heavenly account. And therefore, it's not a good thing. You're not supposed to go around saying, well, Hashem's going to protect me, so therefore I can be cavalier and irresponsible with my own safety, because, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect me anyways. We're talking about in the context of putting one's self on the line for Ratzon Hashem, which was Avraham didn't just, you know, walk around just doing whatever he wanted because he doesn't have to worry about his own safety. Avraham, when it came something which was Ratzon Hashem, he had to save Lot. He had to stand up for his Amuna, for all of these things. So then he put himself in harm's way, but it was only when it was for the sake of Ratzon Hashem. Then when you are doing something which is counter to your own well-being, Lema'an Ratzon Hashem, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects him despite that what he is doing is contrary to that Ratzon. The Siach Yitzchak says that Magain means that as a madrega where Hashem stops the danger before it even comes, right? And this seemingly fits with the translation of a shield, which is where I think the Siach Yitzchak is coming from, that magain means a shield. A shield is something that you hold out in front of you, and it blocks the attacks before they reach you. A shield is also something that protects you because you're holding it close to you. A shield is not something, I mean, you have something like an iron dome, which is, you know, thousands of miles away, but your prototypical shield is something that the further away you put it from yourself, the less protection it provides you. It's not shield is something which you hold it close to yourself, you hold it in front of you, when you put it down, when you put it, you know, far out in front of you, so then it doesn't protect you anymore. So it's also that that Hashem is magain, which is that if you are close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you, so to speak, hold a Kadosh Baruch Hu close, so then that's going to prevent anything from being able to affect you. Nefesh HaChaim in Shaar Gimel, in Perek Yud Beis, Nefesh HaChaim is talking about, I think we've touched on this before, that Pasuk says, Hashem Hu Elokim Ein Od Milvado, that Hashem is the Lord, and there's nothing else besides Him. So the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Zayin Amad Beis 7b, the Gemara says, where Ein Od Milvado, there is nothing else aside from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, Afilu Kshafim, that there's nothing other than Hashem, even black magic. So what does the Gemara mean? Nothing even black magic. The Gemara means is that there are certain kohos, there are certain forces that Hashem created in the world, and if a person knows how, they can manipulate those forces. And a person might think that, you know, that with the system that a Kadosh Baruch Hu put into place, that you could manipulate that system against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against the Ratzon of Hashem. But the Gemara is saying is that Eino Milvado Afilu Kshafim, that even those forces, even those kochos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in play, they're really, even those don't really exist. That there is no koach, there is no power other than Hashem, and all other forces are subject to His dominion. That they're all under the rubric of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being in absolute control. One of the things that He's, you know, use the term very loosely, but that He's, what's the word when you give someone else your job? When He's delegated, one of the things that Hashem has delegated, He's created certain systems in the world, but those systems are not now operating on their own. That this Ein Od Milvado, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely in control of everything at all times.
So He also created those forces. There's a purpose for them, for some people to use. That's also sort of the Torah. It says, I gave these other gods to the other peoples, but for you, you know the real thing.
That's one aspect of it. The Ramchal in Das Tunos talks at length about that, the idea that these kohos existed really primarily for the sake of punishing the wicked. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu created the concept of evil is really primarily for things that are evil, is for the purpose of punishing the wicked. But there is the place of these things, probably more of a discussion than beyond the scope of our discussion now. But that there are these, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above any, even the system that created HaKadosh Baruch Hu is of course not subject to, and there's no force, there's no will of others which can run contrary, which can contravene HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. And the Nefesh Chaim says that if you keep this in mind, that if a person is misdavik, if they really, you know, constantly have in a very real sense this idea in mind, that then says the Nefesh Chaim, then nothing can harm you, that you'll be in a place where really nothing can affect you, because there is nothing other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So nothing can, if you are connecting to that idea, then you'll be safe from all other kohos, from anything that, from any ratzon other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. You'll be impervious to, you'll be protected against. The Ramchal says that just to explain this point a step further, that Hashem, by the Chorban, the Gemara says that Hashem changed the names of the kohos, that when the Navi said that the armies of Nebuchadnezzar were going to come and destroy Yerushalayim, so the Rishayim of the time kind of laughed and said, that's fine, let them come. I'm going to use this shame, this, you know, name, and create a wall of fire, and I'm going to use this name and, you know, make it whatever the different things that they said would come, the water and all these different things. They said, that's okay, we know how to manipulate the divine system such that, you know, we'll be able to take care of ourselves, and we're not so worried. So it says that the Gemara says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu changed the names of these different kohos, such that when each person tried to call out to whatever, I don't know,
power,
demon, yeah, shade, force, power, whatever it was, yeah, that controlled these different things, it didn't work, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu had changed the name. Hashem set up a system, but Hashem is ultimately in charge of that system and can override it. And can override it. His achdus, His oneness, is that there is nothing else which is an objective reality. And if someone connects themselves to that oneness, then everything is batal. Everything else is as if it isn't. And no force of nature, nothing else in the world can affect them. There's a famous story which is brought down about the Brisker Rav, that when the Brisker Rav was escaping from the Churban of Europe, that he was basically walking on the road. And the story is this, I don't remember if it's the original account is from him or from someone who was with him, whatever it was, but that apparently he was walking, and he was just walking down the side of the road, and he was in his mind repeating over this Nefesh HaChaim about that, basically that to being, you know, just this idea that Einon Milvado, and that there is nothing else other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he was walking down the side of the road, and he was walking past soldiers, and he was walking past all of these, and no one was bothering him, and no one was like, taking any notice of him. And then, I don't remember if there was a gunshot or a carriage, something happened that, like, you know, some loud bang, which, like, you know, startled him and distracted him. And the way the story goes is that at that moment, a German soldier turned and looked at him and said, "Hey, who are you?" Or he said, like, "Hey,"
yeah.
And that he regathered his thoughts and he focused again, and he kept on walking, and the person left him alone. That story is recorded in a number of places. But that's the idea, that if a person is connecting to this idea that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that there really is nothing else, then nothing else exists. There's nothing there to bother you, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Eino Milvado. There is nothing else. So Magin Avraham. So why is it that's the idea of Magin? You hold a Kadosh Baruch Hu close, and then he's the protection. Magin Avraham. Avraham is the Yesod of Chesed. He's the one. He's the pillar. The representative of Chesed. And that's, we discussed, the idea of chesed is more than just being nice. The idea of chesed is the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything, that he's the mashpia, he's the one, the energy from which all creation comes. And the foundation of Ein Od Milvado, the foundation of this idea that there is nothing other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is the absolute recognition that of Hashem's midah of chesed, that Hashem is the ultimate mashpia, that everything in creation comes from him, that he's the source of everything that exists. And Avraham was that midah. He understood, he related to a Kadosh Baruch Hu through that midah of chesed. And Magen Avraham Avraham was the one who related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that level. Avraham also had related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the midah of Makom. We say that all of the Avos called the Beis HaMikdash a different name, and when each of the Avos stood to pray, it says it in a different place. I Adam, it was B'Makom, Vayamod B'Makom Asher Amad Sham Barishona, that he stood there in the Makom where he had stood originally. Yitzchak et Sade, Yitzchak Lasuach Basade, and hopefully we'll talk about why Yitzchak and the Sade. And Yaakov is Bias, Ein Zeh Ki Im Beis Elokim, Zeh Shaar Shamayim. But Avraham is his midah of tefillah, which is his relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is the midah of makom, the midah of hu makomo shel olam ve'ena ha'olam makomo. The idea when we say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is ha'makom, so explained in a number of places, Nefesh HaChaim goes at length to explain this, that the idea is, the idea of a makom, the idea of a place, is the context in which something else exists, is its makom, right? That a person is the makom of something. When you say that a person is, you know, that's his makom, that's where he belongs, that's the context in which he's supposed to be. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the makom means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the context of existence. The line the Chazal say, "Hu makomo shel olam ve'ein ha'olam makomo," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what gives the world context, gives all of existence. Existence does not give a Kadosh Baruch Hu context. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is the premise on which all other existence exists, but there really is nothing else other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the midah of a Kadosh of Avraham's understanding of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, was this midah of makom, that Hashem is the context for existence of everything else. He's the ultimate source of all existence. The idea of the Siach Yitzchak and the Gra are really therefore very connected. The Gra is talking about that the idea of Magain is one who understands the irrelevance of his own hishtadlus. That's someone who, the idea of Magain was someone who does things which are contrary to his own success, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes him successful, because someone who understands the irrelevance of his own hishtadlus, of his own effort, and does things against his own best interest, because he understands that in reality, ein od milvado, and Hashem takes care of everything, and Hashem is the only koach that matters, that is the midah of magen. That's the person who he's acting in whatever is raton Hashem. That's right. It doesn't matter if it's good for me, if it's bad for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's in control anyways. It doesn't matter if it should be bad for me. HaKadosh ein od milvado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's what's supposed to be, then that's what's going to be. It doesn't matter that I did something which should lead to a different consequence. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really absolutely in control, then that's not going
to
matter.
One point Rabbi Goldberger made this morning is that according to the Ramchal, the morning davening that we do is our hishtadlus for the day.
Oh,
you know, we don't daven and go and do our hishtadlus, but the davening is the hishtadlus, and that's what makes then God takes care of us what we do.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Very interesting point.
I once heard this very, very similar, that this the Gemara says Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim, that everything is in the hands of heaven except for Yiras Shemayim. So someone was at the Kosel, and there was this chassid who was standing, you know, near him, who was davening very fervently that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should give him Yiras Shemayim. And he said to him, you know, Kol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyir Shemayim. He said, yeah, okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing my hishtadlus. Like, my part is to, everything else, it just, you know, I have nothing to do with. This I have to daven for.
The only problem, I have a question, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
But if you emphasize so much that whatever Hashem wants, Hashem will do, and really our efforts are meaningless, wouldn't it encourage people to just say, well, I'm not going to do X, Y, or Z because it doesn't matter. Hashem is going to either save me or not save me, whatever. It might lead to tremendous passivity, and that would not, I don't think that's a healthy quality to have, and certainly not what Hashem really wants from us.
That's true, and that's 100% true.
Thank you.
It's part of a broader discussion, which when we get to the third bracha of Shemona Esrei, hopefully we'll talk about that more at length. But just, I was trying to at least mitigate that when I read earlier that this is really only in practice in the realm of when I'm doing something which is ratzon, when I'm doing something because that's what Hashem wants, as opposed to say that I'm just, you know, going to be irresponsible or lazy because, you know, it doesn't really matter what I do, Hashem's
right,
in charge anyways,
right,
that is not the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live. And part of the predicate of having mitzvos is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore wants us to, you know, kind of live in the world and do things. And it's a very important point, and hopefully we'll eventually get back to that. So just one last point before I move on. So I mentioned that where does the idea of magain, according to the Gra, that the idea is that you do things which are, you know, not necessarily not protecting yourself.
Right.
So where does that fit in with magain? So at a simple level, you could just say what it means is that I'm not protecting myself and Hashem will protect me instead. But in order to offer a different idea, the Yalkut Shimoni says that the word magain is the Aramaic word for chinam, which means something which is free, something which is that at no cost. So Avraham was put in danger and he was saved, and he was afraid that Hashem would take it away from his account, from his zechuyos. You know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a nes for him, then, like the Gemara we quoted before said, that, you know, if Shemayim saves you with a nace, then that's Menachin Lomi Yisruyosov. So Avram went to war with the four kings, and he defeated them. And then, the next thing, Hashem comes to Avram, and he tells him, Avram, don't worry, ani magin lach, scharcha harbe meod. I'm protecting you, or I am magin for you, scharcha harbe meod. You've got a lot of schar. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, what was Hashem telling Avraham? That says, Avram, I'm giving this to you for free. You put yourself in danger for the sake of Hashem. So this is on Hashem's account. You know, a person goes on a business trip and they pay for, you know, they have the hotel, and they go take a client out to eat, and they have to take a taxi and all the stuff. You're doing that for the business. So who pays for it? The business pays for it.
Right.
When you're doing something on the business account, so if you're doing it for the sake of the business, so the business is going to pay for it. If you're doing something for Hashem, so Hashem's going to pick up the tab. And that's Magen Avraham. That's Hashem is saying, Avram, everything that you did, all of the risks that you took, were for the sake of Shemayim. So all of that, that's not on your account. That's on the Shemayim's account. And that's the Magen, is that even when Avram is doing something which he's, you know, lets his own, so to speak, expenses, putting himself at risk for the sake of Shemayim, that's Magen. That's at no cost. That's for free. That Avram, if you are putting yourself out on a limb for the sake of Shemayim, so Shemayim is going to take care of you. That's on the cheshbon of Hashem, and that says is Magen, that you got for free. The last words of the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. So we say, we finish with that Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham, as we've mentioned before, that this bracha is called the bracha of Avos, right? If you look at the Art School Siddur, labels it for us very nicely, Avos, right? So why does it end with Magen Avraham? Why isn't it Magen Avos or Magen Avosenu or something like that? Why is it finished with
Avraham Yitzchak
Yaakov? Right, or Magen Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov or something like that. So the Gemara in Psachim, in Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, 117b, so the Gemara quotes a pasuk at the beginning of 2 weeks ago's Parsha, the beginning of Parsha's Lech Lecha, says that Lech Lecha Me'artzcha, and Hashem promises Avraham, Ve'eschal L'goy Gadol, I'll make you a great nation, Va'varechecha, I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be for a blessing. So the Chazal say, the Gemara says that v'eschal goy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation. Zesh omrim Elokei Avraham. That's based on that we say Elokei Avraham. V'avarechecha, that's why we say Elokei Yitzchak. Va'gadlo shemecha, that's why we say Elokei Yaakov. And then it says, Veheye bracha, and you will be the bracha. So that the Gemara says, that teaches us that Becha Chosman, that with you, Avraham, you're going to be the bracha, that the chasima of the bracha is with you, that the first bracha should end with Avraham alone. So what exactly does that mean? You know, it's cute. What exactly is the idea? So the Maharsha there on the Gemara says that the word Veheye is the same letters, is made up the letters Yud, K, Vav, K, rearranged into a different word, Veheye, but is the letters of Yud, K, Vav, K, of the name of Hashem's name, of unity, of that name, which we say is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's that name of Yud, K, Vav, K, that name represents Hashem's name of Yichud, the Shem HaYichud, the name of Hashem being one. If you take I have my pen on. If you can visualize it, if you take the word haya, hey yud hey, and you take the word hove,
right,
and you superimpose that over haya, and you take the word yihye, and you superimpose that over what you had there before, you will end up with yud k vav k. That the name Yod Hey Vav Hey is the superimposition of Haya Hove Vayiye, of past, present, and future, all put together into one thing. That it's past, present, and future all merge in. It's the totality of existence all merge into one. And Avraham was the initiator of bringing Yichud Hashem into the world, of bringing into the world this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one power which is in control of everything. There was the, there's this idea that we say that Avram is the father of monotheism.
Right.
Bubkis. Not true. Right? There was a fellow named Shem, and Shem was a few generations before Avraham, and Shem was alive and well and had a Beis Medrash in which he was teaching about God when Avraham was born. Avram was not the originator of the idea of monotheism. Avram, maybe at some point we'll talk about exactly what the chiddush of Avraham was, but on a very basic level, the Zohar talks about this. The nations of the world referred to God as Elaka de Elaka, the God of gods. They understood that there's, you know, this one God somewhere up there, but, you know, that's, you know, then subdivided into all the powers that we work through, and you know, there's, you know, the God of the sun is in control of the sun, and the God of the water is in control of the water, and the God of the moon is in control of the moon, and the God of the moon is in control of night, and the God of the sun is in control, and all these kinds of different things. Avraham brought in the idea that, no, there's one God who's in charge of everything. It's, you know, it's difficult to understand how can you have good and bad under the control of one God. But that was the most basic idea of what Avraham was teaching, was that there's one God who's in charge of everything. And that was the bringing into the world the idea of Yichud Hashem. So that that name of Hashem, the Heyeh Bracha, is a hint to Avraham Avinu, because that was the message, that was the idea that Avraham was bringing into the world, was this idea of everything is under one guiding, unified path. Everything is under the control of one Hashem, and everything is in the complete control of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We end the first bracha with Avraham, because the focus of the first bracha is really Avraham, is Chesed. The yesod of all of our relationship with Hashem is Chesed, that Olam Chesed Yibane, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu only created the world out of a desire to do Chesed, and the Gevura is there to perfect the Chesed. And when you talk about Yitzchak, we'll talk about exactly, you know, the relationship between these different ideas, but that the Chesed is the basis of that relationship, and the letters of Veheye, the letters of that word of Yud Kei Vav Kei, are the letters of the name of Hashem that connotes His Hashem's mid of Chesed. We say that the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is the Shem Harachamim, as opposed to Elokim is the name of Din. So that name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of Chesed, is a reference to Avraham, and therefore the seal of the bracha is with Avraham, because that's the focus of this bracha, is the basis of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is that which then creates the context for everything else that's there, is this idea of Chesed, and the idea of this of that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So even though this is the bracha of the Avos, of all of the forefathers, but the focus is Avraham, because he's the start, he's the foundation of creation, and everything that follows is included in that initial spark. Sof ma'aseh b'machashav v'tchila, that everything that's going to be the conclusion is always there in potential, in the original conception, is part of the plan. You have this idea always throughout Torah that whenever the beginning of something always contains within it the koach of everything that comes later. There's a famous story with the Gra, that the Gra said that the entire Torah is summed up in the first pasuk of Bereishis, and the entire first pasuk of Bereishis is summed up in the word Bereishis. And he said that the entire Torah is summed up in the word Bereishis. So someone was there, said, sounds very nice. Where's Pidyon HaBen in the word Bereishis, right? So the Gra said, I don't know if he thought for a minute or not, but the Gra said that Bereishis, Beis Reish Aleph Shin Yud Saf, is Roshe Tevos for Ben Rishon Achar Shloshim Yom Tifteh. That your first son after 30 days, you should be po to him. So some people hear the story, you're tempted to say, you know, like, okay, you got lucky with that one. He says, what if he would have asked him about Shatnez? But, you know, if the story would have been if the story would have been about Shatnez, we would have said he's lucky he didn't ask him about Pidyon HaBen, you know? But the Gra had this idea that the entire Torah is summed up in the word Bereishis. Not just, you know, it's not just like, you know, wow. There's a yesod here. There's an idea, because everything is always summed up in the beginning. The koach of everything that follows is always latent in the beginning, and that was the koach of Avraham, was that koach of haskala, of a beginning, and that's the chesed, which is then the foundation for everything that exists, and therefore Avraham is appropriately the focus of the bracha which is the start of Shemona Esrei, and the start of that bracha, of the focus of the relationship on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. See, one more point, is that okay? So I try not to go too late, and we started 15 minutes late tonight, but Rav Schwab points out that Hashem's promise to Avraham, right, of Ani Magin Lach, right, Avraham, don't be afraid. Ani magin lach scharcha harbe meod follows immediately after his interaction with Melech Sodom, with the king of Sodom, that Avraham won the war with against the four kings, and he took back all of the people and the possessions that they had captured from Sodom, and he returned them to Sodom, or really Sodom said, the king of Sodom said, give me back the people and you could keep the stuff, and Avraham said, keep the stuff too. But after that interaction with the Melech Sodom, so then Hashem comes to Avraham and says, don't be afraid, ani magin lach. So Rav Schwab said that why is it specifically there that that Avraham gets this promise? And he says that Sodom was the society of the time that epitomized immorality in the generation of Avraham. And you know, we have this idea that, you know, anything that you come in contact with can influence you. It's a famous idea that there's a few places where in the Torah you see this idea that Pinchas, after he killed Zimri, which was an act of Kanas Kinasi, he did it, you know, completely for the sake of Hashem, that it says that after that Hashem gave him Brisi Shalom, my Bris of Shalom. Some of the Farshim say, like, you know, specifically there, after he just killed someone, he got a Bris of Shalom, was specifically because of this, even though Pinchas killed Zimri totally as Mesiris Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that you did an act of violence exposes you, it desensitizes you to violence. And it's specifically at that point that Hashem gave him a Bris Shalom to say that, Pinchas, you did that completely for the sake of Hashem. You won't be affected by that. You have a Bris of Shalom that your appreciation for Shalom will still remain intact. But the status quo is that when you do something, it does affect you. When you interact with something, it does affect you. There's this crazy story that I heard. I don't remember who the story was about, but there was a certain a news story where they were doing this neurological research, and they were basically, you know, had someone, you know, frontal lobotomy with the front of their head open and, you know, poking different things in their frontal lobes, and they pressed on, and the person was conscious, and they, I don't know how they do these things, but apparently they do them, and they pressed on a certain part of the person's mind, and they started having memories, talking about memories from before they learned how to talk, right? They started talking about memories of, wow, like an aunt who died before they were like one, like a year old or something like that.
That's amazing.
And there was—I don't remember who the story's about. There was a certain, you know, gadol of the previous generation who heard that story and said, from now on, he couldn't look at secular newspapers. Because you think that you see something, and okay, you forget it and it's gone. He said, everything that you're exposed to stays with you. Right, that you think, like, okay, I saw this and now I forgot it, you know, I didn't. But you see something, you're exposed to something, it becomes part of you. It might be, you know, deep in the subconscious, but it's there somewhere. So everything that you're exposed to affects you somehow. And Avraham was just exposed to the most morally depraved society that existed at the time, and HaKadosh Baruch was telling him that, Avraham, don't worry, ani magin lach, that Hashem protected Avraham to not be influenced or affected by the depravity of Sodom, and he protected Avraham from all of the hashkafos raos, from all of the wicked ideas that were floating around at that time, that was the protection that Hashem gave Avraham. And Avraham instilled this koach in Klal Yisrael, the koach to stand against the world. Avraham was known as Avraham HaIvri. Rashi brings one of the pshatim that who be'ever echad v'kol olam be'ever acher, that, or maybe kol olam be'ever echad who be'ever acher, that the whole world was on one side and he was on the other side, that Avraham Avinu stood up and represented something which the entire world was opposed to. He was on one side and the rest of the world was on the other side. And that koach to stand up against the world, that was a koach that Avraham imbued. That's the ability of a Jew to be Moser Nefesh, to stand up and give their life for their Judaism, is a koach that's there, that's implanted from Avraham Avinu. The Chidush Arim says that this idea that we have this idea called the Pintel Yid, that every Jew has a spark that can't be extinguished, and as long as a person is a Jew, that there's this inextinguishable spark, and that the originator of that spark is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was so totally dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that that gave over into his nation this dedication. There's always that spark, which is always there. And Magen Avraham says the Chidush Arim means that Hashem protects that spark of Avraham. He protects Avraham Avinu. He protects the Avraham in us. That the fact that that spark is inextinguishable, that it's always there no matter how far a person strays, there's always that spark. Hashem protects the Avraham, which is in the Jewish people, so that any Ben Avraham, any descendant of Avraham Avinu, no matter how far removed they are, can fan that spark into a flame if they bring themselves to it. Just to understand this one step further, Avraham Avinu was in reality the start of a new species, a new type of existence. Rav Moshe Wolfson explains that this is why Avraham Avinu was not naturally without an ace. He was not able to reproduce, right? The Medrash says that that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Avraham said, I don't have any descendant, and Hashem said, go out of the tent and look at the stars, the Medrash says he was telling him, go out of your Tzei Min Ha'itz Dagninus Shalcha, go out of your astrology. You're looking at the astrology, at the way the stars are lined up, which is, represents the pattern of the of nature, of the natural process of the world. So you're looking at that, and you see, you're right. Looking at the natural process of the world, you're right. Avraham doesn't have a son. But go out of the method of the rules of nature, and then you'll see that Avraham could have a son. But the fact that the reason he wasn't able naturally to reproduce was because that's the way it is with anything which is not a hemshech, which is not a continuation of that which came before it. This is the biology of a hybrid species. A mule is sterile because it's a combination of a horse and a donkey, and it is neither. And so if you're not a continuation of what came before you, then you don't have the ability to pass that on. You didn't receive anything that you can. If you're something new, the ability to reproduce is because you are a reproduction, so you have the ability to pass that on, to pass that on to others. But something which is new doesn't have that. It didn't get that ability from somewhere else. And Avraham Avinu was the beginning of a new existence, and therefore he naturally didn't have the ability to reproduce. So when Avraham Avinu went from being Avram to being Avraham, and he had the hey added to his name. The hey is the os haholada. It's the female letter. It's the name, that word which makes a word nekeva, which makes a word female, is the hey. When Avram had the hey added to his name, that's the point at which he became able to have children and to produce a nation. And that's the point what the Medrash says, that Avram ain't a molid, but Avraham will. That Avraham could have a child. When Hashem changed him from Avram to Avraham, that's when he became the point at which you can be able to have children to produce a nation, and that's the point at which the new species, which he was to be the progenitor of, took form. So what exactly is the nature of this new species? What is the species which is the Avraham Avinu species? So if you look earlier in Davening, we have towards the end of Psukei Dezimra, we have right before the Shir Hasayam, right, Vayavarech David. So it says over here, Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta Ba'Avram. You Hashem chose Avram. Hotzeso Me'or Kastim. You took him out of Or Kastim. V'samta Shemo Avraham. And you changed his name to Avraham. And then what's the Umatzas Es Lavavo Ne'eman Lefanecha. And you found his heart to be Ne'eman. That the nature of the change from Avram to Avraham was the creation of a new nation, a new level of existence, that the defining point of that existence is Ne'eman, is that they have Amunah, is a nation which has the belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the defining characteristic of this nation, which is that its members have ingrained in them as part of their nature the trait of Amunah, of belief in Hashem. They can choose to deny it and ignore it, but the natural state of a Jew is to have Amunah. The Hebrew word for an apostate is a kofar. The word kofar we find in the Torah by a few places. We find it by the teva of Noach. It says, "Ukafarta oso mi bais ima umichutz," that you should cover it from inside and outside. The word kofar means a cover. And that's the idea of a person who's a Jew who is a kofar. It's the same word. It's a covering, because when a Jew denies his belief, it's a covering over his true self. His natural state is to have emuna. He can cover over that. He can put a block. He can blacken that out. He can put something, a smudge over it. But the natural state, what's there inherently, is that emuna. And this koach, this root of emuna as an inheritance in our makeup, is something that we received from Avram Avinu. And that's the Magin Avraham, is that emuna, which is rooted in the spiritual heritage that we have from Avraham, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects that in every member of Klal Yisrael. One last short thought, also from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab in Mayan Beis HaShoeva says that the idea of that of ending with Avraham is that we acknowledge the heritage of all of the Avos, but we end with Avraham because Avraham was the innovator. Avraham was the originator who formed his own relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu based off of nothing before it. That it needs to be based on Mesorah. It has to be in Elokei Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and it's through a Mesorah. But we have to form our own personal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. And therefore, we emphasize at the end just the relationship that Avram had, because what was special and unique about that was that he formed a new relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu where there was no relationship before. All right, so that will end the first bracha. And next week, Ezra Hashem, an introduction to the second bracha.
Thing that a chavrus of mine taught me about the Melech Chozer Moshiach again, that it's sort of a